Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Pure Gold Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGM and on the OTC markets under the symbol LRTNF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Darren Lebrenz. Now, Darren, I've received a number of emails asking for an update from Pure Gold because the company is really at a pretty critical point right here where production is underway. You're closing in on commercial production. The first gold pour from this Red Lake mine in Red Lake, Ontario, happened at the very tail end of last year. And as I mentioned, closing in on commercial production. Let's start on the production front then. What updates can you give us in terms of when the company is estimating to be able to announce commercial production here?
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here to talk about where we're at today. It really is a pivotal point in the evolution of Pure Gold as a mining company. And you step back to 2020, and that itself was a transformational year as we moved from, you know, purely exploration into development and ultimately reached operations by the end of the year with our first gold pour in late December. And, you know, really proud of the team at bringing the project online in the midst of a pandemic, pouring that first gold on effectively on budget and on schedule. And then as we've moved into 2021, the focus has been on ramping up towards commercial production. You know, talk about, some of the surface infrastructure we've put in place. We've taken an existing milling facility and transformed it essentially into a brand new mill with replacement of the grinding circuit, introduction of a gravity circuit, all the new electrical works, pumps, agitators in the plant, a brand new gold room, and then introduce some new equipment to the back end, a detox circuit to improve the quality of water coming out of the mill, and then a water treatment plant to the back end of our tailings management facility to further improve the water prior to any kind of discharge out of there. Ramp up of that was effectively achieved in the first quarter. We started with some minor issues on water balance, but those are completely resolved. And by mid-March, we had pushed that mill up to close to 900 tons per day. And that's a real achievement given it's an 800 ton per day plant. Recoveries have been absolutely fantastic. This is a simple ore body. It recovers very well. And we've been seeing recoveries in that 96% range. So no issues whatsoever with respect to the deposit and recovering gold. On the mining side, that ramp up has gone a little bit slower than we had anticipated. We did have a couple issues on the first two long hole stopes that we mined. They were in a lower grade portion of the deposit in the hang wall, and we took them first for a mine sequencing reasons, but we encountered overbreak or dilution in those first two stopes. And the good news here is we recognize what the issue is. We've adjusted our mining practices. We've adjusted the way that we're drawing the rings, the way that we're, you know, providing ground support, and we're looking to improve on that as we move forward into Q2. Fast forward to today, we're in the heart of the reserves. We've got more flexibility with over 12 active ore development headings that are in place right now. And that should give us some increased operational flexibility to allow us to reach commercial production in Q2.
So Darren, how much extra capital is estimated to be required to get into commercial production here in the near term?
Really, there's very limited additional capital, apart from what I would call ongoing sustaining capital or deferred capital underground for ramp development. And that's going to be a life of mine exercise. As you know, in an underground mine, you'll continue to put capital in to continue to develop the deposit. But with respect to our surface works, we've got a few minor things that are underway. We're just putting the final touches on the water treatment plant. Within the mill, we've got some minor capital additions. Really, the additional capital here is very light moving forward. It's pretty much built as we stand today.
So, Dan, can you just remind everybody what some of those numbers were, the economics around the project? You guys came out with a feasibility study back in 2019, but any updates you can give us on general costs when it comes to production, your estimates in terms of what all-in sustaining costs are going to be for this mine?
Yeah, so obviously as we reach commercial production, we'll put out guidance for the year, and that'll be an update to the feasibility study that came out in 2019. And I would like to highlight that a feasibility study really is a snapshot in time and reflected where we were at in 2019. And obviously we're making changes as we move forward. Things like, as I indicated, minor changes within the plant to allow us to push from 800 tons per day towards 1,000 tons per day should have a real impact on the production profile moving forward. It should reduce the unit costs based on that change in throughput. And to be able to do that from underground, we put in a second ramp, which was not contemplated in the feasibility study. We call it the East Ramp. The East Ramp allows us to access the east half of the deposit quicker, but you can think about it as a second mining center, if you will, and that allows us again to drive increased productivity from underground. But stepping back to the economics, our study was based on 1 million ounce reserves at 9 grams per ton out of the broader 2.1 million ounce indicated resource. It showed, at $1,700 gold price, it shows pre-tax cash flow of about $1.2 billion over the 12-year mine life. All-in sustaining costs projected over the life of mine are $787 per ounce. And obviously, in lower production years, that's going to be a little bit higher. And then as you get into our high-grade component of our mine, those costs push below that $787 mark. And the margins in today's environment are quite good, given that the study was completed at $1,275 per ounce, and we're sitting significantly above that today.
Yeah, that's a key aspect too, right? You did the feasibility back in 2019, and it is a very different metals price right now. Darren, I do have to ask you, though, about some of the startup issues that the company had. There were some comments on water problems, dilution issues. You have alluded to that earlier, but just give everybody some insights into if these have all been sorted out and what happened there.
Yeah, so the water problems, to be clear for the listeners, is within the plant, and that was just when we started up the mill. We had some minor issues with the water balance, and that's effectively looking at the path of water through the processing facility. It was a simple change to the pumps. We changed out the shivs, and that brought that back in line with our expectations from the study, and it's working as designed. As I said, we reached that 800 ton per day throughput. We've demonstrated we can push to 900 tons per day with the equipment that's in place today. So those water balance issues are effectively behind us. Underground, we did have dilution issues in the first stopes mined. They saw overbreak, as I describe it, which is basically breaking a little bit larger than the ore body itself. So you're mining additional waste with the mineralized material, and that caused the grade to push down. This combined with mining of low-grade stockpiles to really ramp up the mill and show that, we had that fully ramped up, meant that the first quarter we underachieved on grade. But the good news is that we understand those dilution issues. We're in the heart of the reserves today. As I said, we've moved from, initially three or four active ore headings to plus 12 active ore headings, which gives us more flexibility underground, and we're moving towards the full ramp up of the mining side as well. So we do anticipate commercial production here in the second quarter.
Okay. Let's also move over to the exploration component of this company, because Pure Gold really is this hybrid company where you are, well, very close to commercial production, what looks like very profitable commercial production, but there's a lot of exploration ongoing, both to extend the current resource and the current mine life, but also some discovery drilling. Last time we chatted about July of last year, you mentioned a large drill program. I believe it's about $15 million that was budgeted. Where does that stand as we're into 2021 now?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is a, I think it's a big part of the Pure Gold story. While we've got a mine that we've built, it shows a 12-year mine life that's going to demonstrate good economics. It really is a part of a bigger system in place. And I alluded to that with the, 1 million ounces reserves at 9 grams out of 2.1 million ounces indicated at 9 grams. We have a 500,000 ounces inferred today. And when you look at where those sit, we have several discoveries that sit outside of our reserve footprint. So we call them Fork, Wedge, Russet South. They're part of the same mineral system. And these discoveries have been defined from surface down to a depth of about 500 meters below surface. And so we see a real opportunity to continue to explore along our 7-kilometer-long mineralized corridor to grow those discoveries, to make new discoveries, and ultimately to look at opportunities to phase in future expansion in the mine itself. So to that end, we have a fairly aggressive exploration budget that was outlined in July of last year. We've had, two surface rigs active for a good part of late last year. We announced some some decent results late last year and earlier this year from surface work, both within our wedge deposit, new discovery out in the number one vein area, which is an area we haven't drilled before, Treasure Box. We hit some good results there, another area that we haven't drilled before. And so it really speaks to the potential across the 47 square kilometer package. We've got somewhere in the order of $6 to $7 million left in that budget, and I would anticipate that drilling to become more active in kind of the second half of the year after we fully ramp up the mine from underground. Today, we're also very active underground. We've got two diamond drill rigs that they're active today, and they're looking at targeting material within the next 6 months of our mining activities. And this is a combination of kind of the infill stope definition drilling, but also stepping out to look for expansion of those stopes and new discoveries underground in areas where we're already active that could have a real near-term impact on the mining operation. And so it's kind of a unique deposit, as you said, where we're in active production today. We're getting close to commercial production, but there's this big upside that we see across the property package that really allows us to demonstrate strong potential for organic growth moving forward.
Okay, one other area that I want some more insights in, please, is this 8 zone. It's part of the resource, but from my understanding, through looking through the presentation, it is a high-grade component, and it sounds like there's still some expansion potential here. What can you tell us about this 8 zone?
Yeah, the 8 zone is a really exciting component of our mineral resource. It sits a little bit deeper down. It's actually in the exact same geological environment as the Red Lake Mine's high-grade zone, so for our listeners that aren't aware of that story, I'll just step back a couple decades when I was the chief geologist over at the Campbell Mine, and it's part of the Red Lake Mine operation. Across the fence, you had Rob McEwen's Gold Corp, and they were actively drilling, and they hit something called the high grade zone, sat 1,400 meters below surface, and it was a truly phenomenal disruptive discovery for that deposit. It took Goldcorp from a 50,000-ounce producer at the time to 700,000 ounces effectively overnight just because of the spectacular grade. Well, now you go back to our 8 zone. It's a similar depth. It's 1,200 meters below surface. It's a similar geological environment, and it is demonstrably higher grade than the rest of our deposit. We've got indicated resource in there that runs plus 20 grams per ton. And just to give you an example, some of the drill holes that have gone into the 8th zone, 466 grams per ton over 4.3 meters, 342 grams per ton over 5.5 meters. And you get a sense of the tenor of mineralization within the 8th zone. So we're excited about getting deeper access in the 8th zone, but while it'll take us 2 to 3 years to get down there with our ramp, we don't have to wait that long for some of that excitement or sizzle, because by the end of this year, we'll be deep enough to set up an exploration drift underground, or heading rather, and start targeting the 8 zone from underground. So, as we transition in next year, I would expect some drilling to be occurring in and around the 8 zone. And I think that'll be really exciting for all Pure Gold shareholders.
So simplify all this exploration for our listeners then, please, because it is some, let's say, near-term resource expansion, but also some discovery drilling. What's the balance, and what's the news flow going to look like?
Yeah, so it's really unique. I mean, it is almost like a hybrid, as we've talked about, between a production company and an exploration company, because while we were on the cusp here of declaring commercial production and transitioning to steady state production and cash flow, we do have this bigger picture exploration story that's out there, which includes drilling from both surface and underground as we move forward. And so, what you can expect to see is, the usual things you see out of an operating company with respect to, quarterly production, cash flow, cash costs, all in sustaining costs, and opportunity for improvements within the mine itself. Things like moving our milling rate from 800 tons per day to 1,000 tons per day that will generate additional production and additional cash flow. But then you layer on top of that a combination of drilling from both surface and underground, surface results largely focused on outside the mine, looking to grow our discoveries, to make new discoveries and build up that Red Lake resource that we have, and then drilling from underground that's nearer term opportunities to grow the reserves and have a real time impact on the mining operation. So it should be a pretty exciting year from a news flow perspective.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it, and especially in the very near term, sounds like the announcement of commercial production. Darren, just remind everybody quickly how much cash the company has in the bank to, well, continue this exploration, but then also considering that commercial production is right around the corner.
Yeah, so we have a amended credit facility that we announced in the first quarter that has the potential to bring in $20 million U.S. We've drawn down $12.5 million U.S. out of that, and we have an equity financing that we announced as well that will be completely dedicated to ramp development, allowing us to accelerate those ramps to move down towards the 8th zone quicker. And so we are well financed right now to conduct the mining operations and continue our exploration program with activities really looking to ramp up in the second half of the year on that front.
Awesome. All right, Darren, thank you very much for this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you, and we will follow up with Darren as some more news hits the market, especially on, well, both the production and exploration fronts. Darren, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Corey.